Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 16, 2018. South Sudanese Americans hold a demonstration outside the White House.
We need peace in South Sudan now!
We need peace in South Sudan now!
We need peace in South Sudan now!
Thank you, President Trump!
Thank you, President Trump!
Thank you, President Trump!
Thank you!
And there's been more fighting in Bentiu.
8 people, which are 8 rebels, fighters, including one of the notorious Brigadier General by the name of Ria Gwandong, also known as Yeku Pain, is the one who actually brought the forces to attack Bentiu, was actually killed.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A demonstration by South Sudanese Americans is happening this hour outside the White House to draw attention to the ongoing violence in South Sudan. South Sudan in Focus reporter Ayen Deng Bior is there on this wet, chilly morning with the reporters. Ayen, can you tell us what these demonstrators want to see from President Donald Trump?
Well, Tanza, the good news right now is that it stopped raining, but it's still cold out here. In fact, it's 9 degrees Celsius. The protesters, though, say they will be here rain, shine, or even snow, and they plan to be here for about 3 more hours. And just to set the scene for you, the crowd has marginally grown. When I got here 3 hours ago, there were 17 protesters. Now there's about 25 of them, and you can hear them behind me. They say they are here to demand justice and accountability and to press U.S. President Donald Trump to do more.
And did anybody from the White House, any official from the White House, ever speak to them?
I posed that question to protester and organizer Isaac Gung, who is also the U.S. representative for the SPLM in opposition. And he says no White House officials, no State Department officials have shown up to talk to them this morning. But he also told me that they do have a meeting planned later today with Congress members.
And, you know, the White House is normally popular with tourists. Getting around, asking this South Sudanese why they are there.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, a few protesters have come up and taken a few pictures and held one-on-one conversations with some of the protesters here. I get the sense that some of the protesters don't really know what South Sudan is and have no idea about the conflict. So along with demanding justice, some of the protesters tell me that they also want to educate U.S. citizens on what is going on in their country.
And just a combination of these South Sudanese, could you tell me where some of them are coming from? You know, U.S. is made up of 51 states.
Absolutely. I spoke to about 6 of them, and they come from all over the U.S. The furthest is Washington State, which, as you know, is in the West Coast, so the opposite side of the country. I spoke to somebody who was from Nebraska and also someone from Tennessee and someone from Texas. So they're from all over the U.S.
And these protesters, are they members of the opposition? Are they government supporters? Who are they? Can you tell me some of the individuals in the mix?
Yeah, and that's a really, really important question. And I want to make sure that we do make that clear. Some of them are activists, but most of them are political activists. Most of them are aligned with the SPLM in opposition. So there is a mix. There's activists who are here just to protest on behalf of peace for South Sudan. Some of them, however, are aligned with the SPLM in opposition and are supporters of Dr. Riek Machar.
And I can only hear voices of men. Are there no women who have turned up for this demonstration?
Well, this morning when I came, I tried really hard to get female voices. 3 hours ago, there was only one woman. I'm proud to announce that there's at least 4 women now.
All right, Ayen Bier, thank you very much for bringing an update from the White House on the demonstration by South Sudanese Americans.
Thank you.
Reporter Ayen Bier also spoke to some of the demonstrators a little while ago about why it was important for them to come to Washington and express their grievances in front of the White House.
Toot Tell from Tennessee tells me they ultimately want peace in South Sudan.
Yeah, actually we came to Washington, D.C. to protest and ask the support of President Trump. If President Trump can act and help us to overcome the problem of South Sudan. And we need peace in South Sudan. The whole country collapsed. People are suffering in South Sudan, and we need to stop that. We need peace right now.
And George Atieb from Tennessee has a sign up that says IGAD must free Dr. Riek Machar unconditionally.
Yeah, Dr. Riek Machar is a champion of peace in South Sudan. Salva Kiir, the president of South Sudan, is a dictator. Dr. Riek Machar was championing democratic principles, and he didn't like that, you know, and he started pushing him into war. That is when he pushed Dr. Riek Machar out of South Sudan. And we need Riek Machar back in South Sudan right now. The war is brought back to the country simply because Salva Kiir sent his peace partner out of South Sudan. And we need him right now to come back to South Sudan.
My name is Elizabeth James Poch. I live in Tennessee State.
You came all the way from Tennessee on a cold morning. Tell me what you're doing here.
I'm talking about always Arabic.
Today we have come here to show to the world, or to show to President Donald Trump, that he should help South Sudan. Peace should prevail in South Sudan as soon as possible. Let us not leave this search for peace in the hands of the government and the rebels. They will take their own time because of what? Because of their own personal interest? And where are we, the citizens of South Sudan? Every day we are dying. Every day we are hungry. Every day we are scattered. Every day we go to other countries.
Isaac Gung is the representative of the SPLMIO here in the United States of America. He came all the way from Texas to take part of this rally. Isaac, tell me, how is the Trump administration doing in their response plan for South Sudan?
Well, again, my assessment for this administration is that it is doing better than the previous one. We feel that the previous administration was caught off guard as far as the complexity of the South Sudanese conflict. This administration has seen some of the issues that prevented peace from being realized, and it has taken concrete steps.
But clearly, the Trump administration is not doing enough, or else you wouldn't be here in front of the White House today.
Correct. You know, we think that it has taken some good steps, but they can do more.
Like, what can they do more of?
Right now, we have all of the parties in Addis to negotiate a peace settlement. But as you know, again, the previous one had the government refusing to sign the key part of it, which is the Declaration of Principles. So these South Sudanese that are here today want to send the message that if a peace is going to be realized, the Trump administration needs to take additional steps, especially to encourage the people to be faithful in their negotiations.
I'm also here with Peter Quell from Washington State, the opposite side of the country. Peter, what brought you all the way here to D.C. today?
Well, this is not my first time, not my second time. At least I did this rally at least 14 times. And we're calling President Trump to do more pressure. We appreciate the sanction that he made on the oil company that funding the war. And we need more sanction on all the oil companies. We need the freeze of their assets so that they don't fund no war anymore in South Sudan.
Michael is here all the way from Nebraska. He has a sign up that says President Trump will make South Sudan great again. Tell me more about that, Michael.
Yes, the reason I hold this sign is the step that President Trump takes. Sanction is one of the greatest things that will bring peace in South Sudan because, again, that they are buying right now are landing in the hand of wrong people. So those guns are the guns that they are going to kill innocent people.
Some of the other signs that are up here in front of the White House are IGAD has failed and too corrupt to bring peace to South Sudan. And protesters are also demanding the release of Dong Luoc and Agri Idi, two political prisoners in South Sudan. Ayan Bior, VOA News, Washington.
South Sudan is now in its fifth year of conflict. United Nations agencies and several humanitarian groups have documented atrocities and possible war crimes committed by both government troops and rebels allied with rebel leader Riek Machar since fighting began in December 2013. Still on conflict, government forces and SPLAIO rebels loyal to former first vice president Riek Machar are fighting over the control of Nyaldiu in northern Lich State. The state's information minister claims rebels attacked the town, but government troops repulsed them. IO spokesman claims their forces have captured Nyaldiu. Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Juba.
Northern Liège State Information Minister Lam Tung Guar accused rebels loyal to Machar of attacking the village of Nialdiu in the early hours of Monday.
The rebel attacked our base this morning at around 4 to 5:30 in the morning. And they come and actually attack our outpost in self-defense. They were repulsed after 45 minutes of gunfight.
Tung Guar claims government forces shot dead 8 rebels, including the commanding officer who led the attack on Nialdiu.
8 people, which are 8 rebels, fighters, including one of the notorious Brigadier General by the name of Riai Guandong, also known as Yeku Peng, is the one who actually brought the forces to attack Nialdiu, was actually killed. He was gunned down in that battle with other 2 colonels.
South Sudan's military spokesman, Brigadier General Lul Roy Kwang, says rebels killed 1 SPLA soldier during this morning's clashes and wounded 3 others. Kwang accused the rebels of attacking the area in order to gain ground ahead of the 3rd and final phase of the IGAD-led high-level revitalization forum in Addis Ababa.
Whenever the two parties are preparing for peace talks or to reconvene for peace talks in Addis Ababa, the rebels would scale up their offensive operations against the government forces in order to blackmail the mediators.
Kwang claims there were no civilian casualties. SPLA in opposition deputy military spokesman Colonel Lam Paul Gabriel admits rebel forces entered Nialdiu this morning, but he says it was the government forces that started the fighting.
We received information that the government was flushed out of Nialdiu. Still don't have confirmation whether our forces are inside Nialdiu or they got out. But it was self-defense because they attacked us first.
Gabriel denies government reports that a rebel commander was killed in today's fighting and insists rebels have taken control of the area.
We all have our commanders in place. We are only just waiting for details of what exactly happened inside there. But the truth is, we are in full control of Nialdiu this morning. The most important thing, Nialdiu this morning is under our control.
Kwang says the rebels' claim of capturing Nialdiu proves the rebels were on the offensive. The SPLA spokesman is appealing to the Ceasefire and Transitional Security Arrangements Monitoring Mechanism, or CITESAM, to investigate today's clashes.
We would also call for immediate investigation so that the culprits or the violators of cessation of hostilities agreement are held to account. Today we are renewing our call for the rebels to be held to account for the latest violation of cessation of hostilities.
South Sudan in Focus contacted CITESAM for comment on the story. An official with CITESAM had promised to get back to us. Reports of casualties could not be independently verified on the ground because the mobile phone network in Nialdiu is not working at this time. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
An outspoken church leader in South Sudan is calling on the country's leaders to work to achieve lasting peace and restore the dignity of all South Sudanese. The auxiliary bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Juba says peace will only come to South Sudan if its leaders admit their wrong deeds and ask for forgiveness. Michael Atit has the story for VOA from Juba.
Speaking during his Sunday homily at St. Teresa Cathedral in Juba, Bishop Santo Lacopio said the more than 4 years of violence have tarnished the image of South Sudan and that the country's political leaders should be held responsible. Bishop Laku argues leadership is a gift from God and should not be used to oppress innocent people.
Please, we are begging you, the church is begging you, that this war is senseless, is useless. Don't pursue the path of fighting. Stop, think, decide. I'm waiting the day some of our leaders will take courage and say, I am resigning.
International Crisis Group estimates that tens of thousands of people have been killed in a conflict now in its 5th year. More than 4 million people have been displaced from their homes. Bishop Laku says mismanagement of the nation's resources, untruthfulness, and a lack of leadership have destroyed the country's image. He urged South Sudan's leaders to emulate other African leaders who care about their people.
The Prime Minister of Addis Ababa of Ethiopia said, I have to accept that I cannot stop this insurgency in my nation and I'm stepping down. This is a courageous leader. This is somebody who feels that he cannot go on brutalizing his people. He cannot see the death of his sons and his daughters.
The auxiliary bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Juba says the peace talks have dragged on for years due to lack of political will from leaders who refuse to accept their mistakes.
So we are asking our people, our leaders, give back the balance of the life and the dignity of the people of South Sudan. Give it back to us. You have stolen it. You have stolen our dignity. You have stolen our rights. You have stolen our country. Give it back to us.
The third phase of IGAD-led high-level revitalization forum is scheduled to start on April 26th. The Catholic bishop is calling on government and opposition groups to compromise for peace in South Sudan. He says the country's leaders must admit their mistakes, apologize to the citizens, and chart a new beginning for the country to move forward. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, another religious leader says cattle keepers have taken over a village in South Sudan. Find out where when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the best way to mend a broken heart?
One can be reconciliation, and two, the reconciliation can based on respect and understanding.
I think the best way to mend a broken heart is through counseling and explaining to the person some of the realities of life.
The best way to mend a broken heart, don't look like how you feel. So even if you feel very bad, don't dress badly, because your appearance actually works to uplift your spirit.
If he is your friend who has broken his heart, you better have enough time with him, giving him some advice or advising him to find something to do so that he should be busy, so that he can easily forget.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Another outspoken Anglican church leader says cattle keepers suspected to be from Jonglei Estate have looted homes at Jebelein village on the Juba Nimule Highway last week. The Archbishop of the Internal Province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, Reverend Paul Yugusuk, says armed cattle raiders went on rampage at Nyarbek village, attacking residents and taking their belongings by force.
The day before yesterday, it was a different raiding altogether when they came to Nyerjabi and then walked out with all the goats and sheep and everything, looting houses, and they walked away with everything at that point. And the villagers decided to be silent because they don't know exactly. This is something new that cattle keepers could come also and carry everything that belongs to the villagers.
These cattle keepers, are they South Sudanese? Because it's very strange that a South Sudanese will come and take or loot properties from his fellow South Sudanese. Are these cattle keepers South Sudanese?
These are cattle were brought from Jonglei, and we understand they belong even to some of our senior government officials. And they have been taken care by some individual Israeli soldiers, despite the fact that they have been asked several times by state authority, and UNMISS was part of that, and there are ongoing discussion between the governor of Jubek and the governor of Jonglei on this issue, but it seems like nothing is happening, and our people are victims of all this. Last year, we have an incident whereby two or three of our women were shot dead by the cattle keepers in Nyerjabi.
Let me understand this. You're saying that the SPLA, which is the South Sudan Army, are also involved, you know, in some way in this cattle raids, is that correct?
What is correct is that these cattle keepers are in uniform. They are in uniform and with guns. Of course, with uniform of SPLA. Whether it's SPLA or not, I cannot tell. But what I know, of course, cattle of this much, they are in thousands, cannot be protected by just a mere cattle keeper. There is an element of an army involved, because we also witness vehicles of army could come, go to them down and take food. So what do you conclude?
When President Kiir issued a decree that cattle keepers should vacate farmlands from Equatoria, my understanding is the arrangement was that the military will escort the cattle keepers back to their respective areas.
The president issued a decree, yes, as usual, decrees are issued. And he himself is an example, because he also took his cattle a long time ago out to his home area. So he's an example to that. But the rest have not done that. Maybe we need some more degrees in order to also met others to vacate the cattle.
Let's talk a little bit more in depth about the situation at Jebelein. You are saying that the whole village was looted. How many people live in that village?
It's not a big population. 1,000 people stays in Jebelein, and these people are from. They have been vulnerable to child abduction. They have been vulnerable cattle keepers raiding. They have been vulnerable to all these insurgents. You remember recently we had also a raid, a mass raid in Kubi. Kubi is part of Jebelein and also Aru Junction.
Bishop Paul, you have spoken to us here, the Voice of America, several times complaining about the behavior of government troops in South Sudan. Have you ever taken time to go and speak to their commanders?
This is a very important question, because we do speak to them at the grassroots. We have commanders, we have the heads of battalions. We do speak to them to the extent that there are also changes of troops from time to time. Today you have incoming commandos, tomorrow you have outgoing commandos coming in another battalion. You don't understand. So this does not help us to really continue with our good relationship. Whenever a new team comes, they come with a different behavior. So this is exactly what is happening. But we will continue to engage our troops. We continue to show them that we are a citizen. That is very important, and that we want them as our protectors, and we will continue to engage them.
That's Reverend Paul Yugusuk, Archbishop of the Internal Province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan. He was speaking with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, earlier today about looting at Nyarjebe village along the Juba-Nimule Highway. Authorities in South Sudan and Uganda have agreed to work together to improve security along the two countries' common border. Earlier this year, authorities from both border areas traded accusations over rights violations. Yei River State's governor met top officials from Uganda's Moyo district in Kajokeji to talk about challenges facing civilians in the area. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei.
Yei River State Governor Emmanuel Adel says he met with Soab Toko, the resident district commissioner in Uganda's Moyo district, to discuss how together the two leaders can secure the border areas and protect civilians in Kajokeji and Morobo counties. Late last year, Jacob Kwansuk, a lawmaker in Yei River State's Legislative Assembly, was killed while visiting his relatives in the Mijali area on the Ugandan side of the border. Moyo authorities also accused armed men of crossing into Uganda from Kajokeji County of killing Ugandan civilians and looting cattle. Adel says in his meeting addressed that incident and how the two countries could ensure peaceful coexistence among the communities in South Sudan and Uganda, as well as how to develop a mechanism to improve cross-border security.
We believe also in good neighborhood. We, at the level of the state, have formed a committee that is investigating that incident, and the committee is up to speed. We see to it that this issue is solved. We did acknowledge that within these borders, see, we need to stabilize good security. so that we monitor criminals in that area, particularly the state which borders these districts. The relation between armed forces and the civilian view is enhanced and improved so that civilians feel safety, civilians feel comfortable.
So I have to call the resident district commissioner for Moyo District says Uganda is committed to maintaining stable security at the border points. He urged Ye River State authorities to take full responsibility for securing the South Sudanese side of the border.
In the meeting, we really agreed upon improving security along our borders, and then we said we should avoid that incident from happening. Yeah, we have a good number of refugees here. We are mandated to give them the protection, and we are doing that. So there is no problem for security along our borders.
Choko also asked Ye River officials to create a favorable business climate for Ugandan traders operating in the area, adding that his office has received multiple complaints from Ugandans living in Ye about South Sudanese harassing, looting, and even killing Ugandans near the border.
We need to really create a conducive atmosphere across the borders for people to trade. Quite a good number of Ugandans are trading in South Sudan, in towns like Yeye and Juba. But quite often these traders face a lot of challenges. Many have lost their property, many have been killed, and therefore government that side will take care and ensure that they trade in peace, their property will be protected.
Governor Adil stresses that his administration is committed to restoring peace and stability and making sure that traders from both countries are protected.
We need to restore back peace in Ye River State. So we discuss even the need for us to inform our headquarter governments, in our case Juba, and then them inform Kampala of the need to have continuous meetings so that we could have even a movement between civilians and people and trade between these two countries without any impediments to foster trade and development. Because we also believe that with the stronger working relationship, trade between these two countries, and then definitely we'll be able to iron out the issue of even criminals operating with these two countries' borders.
South Sudan relies mainly on Uganda for supplies of essential commodities, including food items. Margaret Alesi, a Ugandan trader in Ye Town, is calling on South Sudanese and Ugandan leaders to promote free movement of goods and people between the two countries. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin, reporting from Ye Town.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Freedom by M.E.J. Yore.
Even though sorrow lasts for a night, surely joy comes in the morning. It is time for South Sudan to rejoice.
You've been listening to M.E.J. Yore with the song Freedom. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We would like to know what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also reach us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Freedom.
based on equality, it's based on justice and based on peace.